Welcome to On Texas Football. We have a special guest joining us today, Cedric Griffin, lifetime Longhorn, national champion of the 2005 team, cornerback, and longtime NFL player, 7 years in the NFL, second round pick of the Minnesota Vikings. Now he is living out in Lago Vista. You see him there in his nice little porch, getting ready for the day. He's visiting with us this morning. Cedric, welcome in, bud.
Man, Bobby, I appreciate y'all having me on, and it's a pleasure get back on screen a little bit and talk some football with you, man. Appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you guys. You know, it's one of those things where I feel like a lot of us grew up together, that I covered you guys, and then you guys went on and became men, you know, and successful people both on the football field and off. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing these days, Cedric, there in Lago Vista.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm just kind of like you said earlier, man. I'm out here kind of living the dream, to be honest with you. Very nice city out here, country, lakeside, trees, grass. I got some sons out here that's playing high school ball out here in Lago Vista. My oldest boy, Sway, just competed in the UIL track meet and placed fourth overall in the 4A division for track. Got a new school record. I got a middle son. He's 15. He's a freshman trying to get on varsity now. I got a youth AAU track club out here called North Shore Stars. So I'm really just kind of just staying out the way, staying busy with sports and trying to develop some kids.
Oh, that's awesome, Cedric. That's great to hear, because I think people love it when guys like yourself who've been successful. Not many people remember you were a good track guy yourself high school and the hurdles in particular. You've gotten into it and stayed in it now in a role where you're more of a mentor, I think that's giving back part of what you got, you know what right. I mean? Yeah. And so that's just tremendous. Sway, you said finished fourth in the hurdles.
Yes, sir.
You know, while you were at the state track meet, one of the reasons we reconnected is you had said something in a tweet about Jelani McDonald, the young man out of Waco Connolly. You'd seen him a couple different track meets in a row. And you like the and I tried to explain to people when people like Cedric Griffin or Quandre Diggs or Rod Babers or somebody that's seen it, you know, you see other guys, you have a sense for those guys and what it means, whether it's because they take their job seriously, they're ready to go to work. What was it that you made a positive comment on Jelani McDonald? What was it that you saw that were like, I think this guy's got a chance?
Well, I first noticed him at the regional meet, and I think I was just sitting kind of just watching the meet, and I think he passed right by me. And I don't know him personally, but I've seen him online and I've seen his recruitments and stuff like that. But I just seen him walking past me, and he stopped. And I think he was talking to one of his teammates or his parents. But the words that's come out of his mouth, his conversation, he's very articulate. And I can tell that he's smart. I can tell that he's determined, and he's a big guy, you know, and he's super athletic. And I just seen his presence, and I knew that, you know, he can be something just because of the way he was talking, the way he was acting, and the way he was just walking around. He's very nonchalant, and his demeanor was just so cool, man. I love athletes who are just, you know, they know who they are, but at the same time they're not showing off or they're not, you know, beaming with arrogance. And that was that guy, like, all day long. And then, again, I seen him at the state meet. And what really caught my eyes is I'm not sure, but I think that man scratched either, like, three times or two times. And on his, like, his last time to get into, like, the finals, I seen him just walk off and just start doing some extra, like, leg swings on the fence, some lunges. He started doing stretching. He was hitting his leg he was hitting his hand on his thigh. He was just getting in the zone. And I know that from being an athlete. I know what it takes to kind of get in that zone and get that mental right. And I just seen him lock in. And then he came back and jumped to 47. And I was like, man, that's that guy right there. And that's like just in my head. I just sit and watch the triple jump. And I'm like, I'm going to watch him in Texas football, because I haven't really watched Texas football in a long time, just because, I reserve those statements for now. But he just was impressive. And I'm going to be glad to kind of watch him in his career at Texas for sure.
Well, you're busy raising five kids. You get you and yours get all kinds of opportunities to do that. And I would say this, Cedric, I want to take you back a little bit and go from there. 2005. You early in your career played very early, right?
Yes,
you actually started, I think, some games as either a freshman or a true sophomore.
Redshirt freshman.
Yeah. And I remember the OU game. I think it was Mark Clayton. Man, he took you to the cleaners early, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you came back, and what I think you're describing a little bit with Jelani McDonald is, hey, you got to be a man about it, right? You got to grow through things. You're going to have adversity early, but it's important to come back and push through later, right? End up being on the national championship team, drafted in the second round. A lot of people talk about Michael Griffin's interception in that national championship game.
Yeah, that's right.
But in talking to Steve Sarkisian personally one time, he goes, the first time I noticed it actually was when we threw a route to our fullback that had been open all year long, and somebody comes out of nowhere and just decapitates our fullback and knocks him out of the game. Sark was actually talking. That's you. You knocked a guy named David Kirkman out of the game, and that physicality that you guys played with. So a lot of people don't realize that it's not just add water, instant player. It takes time. And experience going there and doing these sorts of things. And that's not just you that was able to do that. That was a number of players on that were very talented, end up drafted and all this other stuff. But y'all were a complete team. That's what the Longhorns are currently aspiring to, because they're starting to get that talent level back up there. Mm-hmm. They're not all the way there yet, I don't think. But they're starting to do some things. My question for you is, what was the mentality of that team? I've heard a lot of you guys talk about it. Were y'all just locked in the whole year, basically? The big hit you had in the Ohio State game to knock free that touchdown from the tight end. I mean, that was a big play too.
Right.
Were y'all just locked in all year?
It started that year. I mean, and then honestly, I mean, I tell the story to people that I talk to all the time. It started in the summertime. I can remember, like, you know, Vince, Huff, some of our linebackers, some of our D linemen, right? We took it upon ourselves to go and do 7-on-7 tournaments, you know, in college, you know, with Texas State and with other schools. And we went down there to San Marcos. They came up to Austin. And we practiced on our own. I mean, we took it upon ourselves to become leaders of that program and, you know, really of that school. And I believe that that's what has to happen. Like, you have to have a couple people from the secondary, the D-line, you know, the offensive side, the running backs, the quarterbacks. That y'all just got to come together, and y'all got to make that team yours. It's not the coaches. I mean, they're just giving you the play calls, right? They're just giving you the scheme. But you got to actually put that work in the summertime, right, in that springtime, and come together and play. So being locked in, yes, we were locked in. We got motivation from our coaches. And I would have to say, you know, it's, you know, I always go back to Dwayne Nkina, because, you know, he always had the statement of saying, hey, you think you arrived, right? He always told us that we have not arrived. And once you start thinking that you arrived, then you become stagnant, you become stale, you become, you know, nothing. You know, people start to kind of get a beam on you. So that statement in my head stays in there. And Coach Dwayne Nkina had an influence on all the players, because he was a special team coach as well. So he talked to the punt team, the kickoff team, the punt return team, and all those players were starters on defense, on offense. And we had the mentality to go in and just fly around, like, with our head on fire, and just knock folks out and get balls out and run touchdowns. So it definitely was a mentality. We were definitely locked in. We knew we had the talent, but we had to put it together as players, not the coaches. The coaches gave us the advice, but then we went out there on our own and just put it down.
Got it. It's certainly a magical season for the Longhorns. You and your secondary teammates were a huge part of it. I mean, look, y'all were just loaded. I mean, Aaron Ross sat the bench and ended up winning the Thorpe the next
and
year.
Ran in the Thorpe. Think about that.
I want to take you back to your own recruitment. You know, I try to remember your recruitment. You were locked in pretty early to Texas. Who were you?
Yep.
Who else were you looking at that time, and what made your final decision?
Man, I was locked in. But OU came in late after Texas. Nebraska was in there. Washington was really, really high on my list. I have no idea why, but I just And I don't. I mean, me being in high school, I tell my sons all the time, like, I had no idea about college football, and I honestly really didn't. I was playing football because I loved to play football, and I was really good at it, and people thought I was good at it. So the only reason why I was playing football, but then I got recruited my junior, senior year, and then I started getting these letters. So, but what made me go to Texas is, you know, I went on my official visit, and in Coach Brown's office, I think he offered me on the spot, and he said, "Well, Cedric, this is like a marriage, you know. Once you commit to me, we're stuck together, and there's no divorce. Like we're together, and there's no pulling apart from this." And once he said that, you know, my mom was never married, so I never really had an idea about marriage, but I knew what marriage was, and I knew it was a commitment. And when he made that statement, I was like, "Man, this man must be really serious about me." So like, I'm gonna go ahead and take that to the bank. I'm gonna go back to Holmes High School and let the people know that I'm committed to Texas, because I didn't know Texas was one of the highlights of college football. And I seen Ricky Williams there. I knew Wayne McGarrity from San Antonio. I played with his brother. He was there. I knew a Quentin Jammer, and I soon came to find out about Rob Babers. So like, I knew they had talent, and I wanted to go where the talent was, because I always knew that competition made me better. And I wasn't shy about, you know, getting better in front of people.
You mentioned that the San Antonio Holmes also produced guys like the Cash Twins, Johnny right. Walker. So there was a history a little bit there at San Antonio Holmes. The transition from high school to college and college to pro for you. Describe mm-hmm. physically what it meant for you and where you had to get on both of those planes.
I'm gonna tell you the same story I told everybody, man. When I was coming out, it did not change for me, and I'm being, you know, just 100% honest with you. I honestly feel like when I went into Texas, and even in high school, man, our high school team was loaded with like just physical guys. Like I mean, to this day, like I'm still in my head about people always calling me small and skinny in school, because I mean I'm a 6'1", 6'2" guy. I mean I'm right now I'm 190 pounds, but I was like 175 in school, but there was other DBs that was bigger than me. There was receivers that was bigger than me. Our offensive line was all 6'3", 6'4", 280 pounds. Running backs was 5'10", 5'11", 220 pounds. So I've always played with bigger people, and I've always been around bigger people. And even when I went to college, I mean, Leonard Davis, I mean, like, the guys were just huge. Roy Williams, B.J. Johnson, Sloan Thomas, I mean, like, Quentin, I've always been around big people, fast people, strong people, competitive people. So when I went to the league, I didn't see any difference to speed, any difference to strength, and I just fit in because I was accustomed to it already. And I didn't see any difference in speed. And I can't say that for everybody else, but for me, going to Texas and playing at Holmes, it was kind of the same for me, honestly.
Is that, you know, let me ask you this, because I think it's an interesting thing. Is that one of the benefits of going to a school like Texas when they're on top like that, you don't have, like, did you see other people join the Vikings mm-hmm. that didn't have the benefit of that, that if they would have, they may have made a mark a little sooner mm-hmm. or got a little bit better?
For sure. I think if you're always the big dog going into a college and you're the biggest, you're the fastest, you're the strongest, in my opinion, right, you're not getting better unless you just have a hell of a coach that is really, really developing you. But like I said in the beginning, the coaches are not really going to make you better. The coach is going to give you advice. They're going to give you that scheme. But the players and yourself, you actually got to go in and do that work and get yourself better. So, yeah, being around other great players, like I say, I think we had a statement in our locker room that Mac Brown, someone put up that excellence. What was the statement he had put in there?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
I forget the statement he made, man, but he was always competition breeds excellence. So, like, as long as you're around good people, good competition, you okay, better people than you, then somehow, some way, you're gonna get good.
Yeah, it's like the old maxim: iron sharpens iron. Yeah, I think we all agree with that. Some other things I wanted to get to with you. I've got Cedric Griffin, former Longhorn, 7-year NFL vet, second round draft pick, currently overseeing and working with a track organization out of Lago Vista that includes a couple of his kids, and very proudly so. He's very proud of them when I talked to him off camera as well. Cedric, Texas is moving to the SEC. You have a unique position in that. You know that sort of thing and what it takes. I mean, we're no SEC apologists here. Texas has been in the Big 12 and won a national championship, been a national power in the Big 12 and in the Southwest Conference, for that matter, way back in the day. What do you think it's going to take for Texas to compete on a regular basis with those guys? And do you think that Steve Sarkisian has them headed in the right direction in that regard?
Yeah. So, you know, SEC is power ball. I mean, and honestly, just not the SEC, but football in general is power ball. Like, you got to have some big nasties. And what I mean by big nasties, right, you got to have some bigs in the middle. Because everything's – I mean, honestly, I'm a DB, right, but I know where it starts. It starts with a great offensive line, and it starts with a great pass rush and some teams that can stop the run. So we got to get linemen that can honestly, you know, just be nasty and not be apologetic about it. Just you know, borderline dirty players, because that's kind of what it – I mean, I'm being honest. That's what it takes in football. Like, you have to be on the edge of, like, almost cheating to get right, because they provide that the running lanes, right? They provide that quarterback pressures that makes it a lot easier for the DBs. You know, the running lane makes it easier for the running back. So then everything makes it easier for the quarterback. So it's not the talent. We have the talent, but it's the mentality. So, and that goes along with the coaches again, right? The coaches have to put in that mentality, and then the players have to receive that, and then they have to go after it. But we should fit in just fine. But like I say, it comes down to coaching the players' mentality. Like, you have to send messages daily in those team meeting rooms, in the position meeting rooms. It has to be the message and how the coaches is delivering the message, so the kids can accept it. If they're not gonna accept that message, then it's not gonna work. I mean, all the talent in the world is not gonna help. So I do believe that it's half coaching, half players. And the way the coaches deliver the messages is that's what it is. You have to find a way to get under the player's skin. I mean, I always revert back to freaking Coach Keenan, man. That man made me cry one time in practice, I think my freshman or sophomore year. But him doing that made me understand that this is his job on the line. Like, he's dead serious about what he's doing, and he wants to make everyone else better because he knows that it's going to often make him better as well. So, you can't go in, like, as a coach, I feel like you can't go in there trying to make everyone feel good. You got to go out there and bust their balls, you know, honestly. You got to go in there and bust their chops and make them understand what's at stake here. Because college football, I mean, it's now with NIL, it's a big deal. I mean, it's a big business, and it's always been a big business. So don't go in and trying to sugarcoat anything. Don't go in there trying to make any friends. Go in there and get some. I mean, that's kind of what it is. It's like I say, it's a mentality, man, because – the players are there, man. McDonald, you know, Anthony Hill, like those are great players that's coming into Texas right now. You know, CB4, like that. I mean, they got the talent coming in, man. So, like, the coaches need to start delivering messages that they're gonna start, you know, inputting and kind of applying.
They got to get that edge, right? Yep. That's really what you're talking about. Hey, speaking with Cedric Griffin, lifetime Longhorn, national champion. I have one final question for you, and it's something that we've debated at Inside Texas and on Texas Football, Cedric. And that is the importance of being a multi-sport athlete for young kids. You mentioned your son's playing multiple sports. Jelani McDonald, who you talked about playing multiple sports. You're a track coach now, essentially, right?
Yes, sir.
What do you see as the value of those other sports as it relates to development as a football player long-term?
Yep. One thing I say is just, and this is just my one-line statement is, they get different messages from different coaches, and every coach has a different message. And when you have all those different messages combining and you turn it into a great football player, a great basketball player, right? They have just different motivations coming from different areas. And it's an old adage, right? That's always saying, right? It takes a village to raise kids. It's the same thing about athletes and about developing football players. It takes more than one person, okay, to get that player on fire and to get that player working right. So you can't just keep hearing the same message your whole life or your whole development career. You got to hear from different people, track coaches, baseball coaches, basketball coaches, football coaches, because we all have different messages, right? Because we love our sport, right? So every sport has a different attitude, a different mentality, and a different goal. So get around different people, get around different coaches, and listen to that culture and understand where they're coming from. And then you go to your main sport, and you apply all those little messages, and you get it. And that's my thought on that for sure. Why athletes should be multi-sport athletes.
It's interesting because one of the things with me, the hurdles, for example, okay, which your son does, Swade. I always feel like that is a very exacting sport. If that makes sense, it takes a lot of, like, you know, if a guy is a good hurdler, you know, he's willing to put in extra time.
Put in that work. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And so those guys, I think of Jamal Charles. I mean, he's basically a world-class hurdler at some level. He could have been if he would have really, stuck at it. And that sort of attitude or mentality allows you to become better long term. It's like a long distance runner sometimes in some ways where they're just going to stick to it and run you to death. Right. Does that help that kind of work on stuff with hurdles and, or, you know, if you're the basketball point guard, for example, I think is another one where you're always the one with the ball. So they're relying on you. You know what I mean? Right. Those two things matter.
It's meticulous, right? It's being detail oriented, and that's what it comes down to. Like, you have to be disciplined about your food. You have to be disciplined about your sleep. And nowadays, right, you got to be disciplined about your screen time, not always being on the phone or watching TV, because those things are called distractions. And you can't be distracted if you're gonna be a high efficient athlete. And that just is what it is. So being detail oriented and being about the small things and knowing that you have to sacrifice things, that's what makes leaders. That's what makes a great team overall, is when you have people just buying in to the program. And if you can, like I say, be a multi-sport player, right, you have different things that you have to buy into. And that's kind of like your mentality. That's your mindset going forward. I mean, those people who are detail-oriented, those are your CEOs in life, right? Those are your, you know, your politicians, you know, if you will, right? Because they're just – so focused, hyper-focused on certain things that they just go all in about it. So no question, it correlates, man, for sure. Just being about the details and just kind of taking different sports and combining into one.
Cedric, you've been a pleasure. We really appreciate it. I know the Longhorn Nation appreciates you joining us this morning as well. For Cedric Griffin, I'm Bobby Burton. That's been this episode, a special one, of On Texas Football. Hook 'em, Cedric.
Hook 'em.